We appreciate your presence today, everyone, and I would invite you to open to Luke's account of the book of Acts, chapter 16, and our text is found there in Acts chapter 16, primarily verse 5 here, where we read the statement that is given. He said, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily." A wonderful statement about the growth of the church, and happening at a time when the church was being established in the Roman Empire in Asia Minor, congregations being established by the Apostle Paul and Barnabas and Silas, Timothy, men like that. And after a period of time, going back to visit those congregations a second time, in some cases a third time, and strengthening them in the faith, realizing that there was an ongoing battle spiritually in their lives to tear down their faith, to discourage them, to destroy the churches. There were opposition from the Jews and some from the Roman authorities even at that time. And just the living in a pagan, immoral world as they were, it was a challenge to the faith of those Christians. So we see the apostles and the teachers of God's Word going back through those places, strengthening them in the faith, teaching them, grounding them, giving them reports on from the apostles in Jerusalem and other places how the church was growing. And so the result of that is this report of the churches. They were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. The application for us should be reading that verse. That is something that is very needed today in the church. Not here only, but always anywhere that Christians are working and establishing a congregation and seeking to serve the Lord. We need to be strengthened in the faith constantly, so that we don't fall prey to Satan and his devices. And the question is, how can this be accomplished? How can we strengthen the churches today in that way that the apostles were doing? And we realize that it is a multifaceted effort that must be made. There's not one single simple answer to the question, but it takes our best effort on all of us working together to accomplish this in our lives. We find that in any biblical subject that we undertake, that it's important that we go to the Bible and make a careful study of God's Word. Just as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, saying, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker that who does not need to be ashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth." And this calls for us to be good students of God's Word and to dig into God's Word and to stay there and base our growth upon those principles that we can found grounded in the Word of God, and praying diligently for the Lord to help and bless the efforts that are made. We are familiar that in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verse 10, Paul, in writing the Ephesian congregation, closed with this thought of, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he goes on to enumerate the armor of God, to put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate, and to carry the shield of faith and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then he concludes praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we understand that strengthening the church is an ongoing process of involving many different aspects of trying to follow the principles of God's Word that are there in the Scripture, to be careful students of those and make the application as is needed. This morning there are three main areas that I want to emphasize in our thoughts today. But anyone who is familiar with the selling of real estate, I think, would understand that what they emphasize over and over again, they would say, when it comes to real estate, the important thing is location, location, location. And so sometimes for emphasis, things need to be emphasized three times. And we're going to do that this morning when it comes to three essentials that are involved in strengthening the church. And those are authority, 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 and attitude, 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 and action, action, action. Those three areas are areas where need to be constantly emphasized in how to make the church strong. We need to constantly go back to emphasize the authority of Christ, the authority of God's Word, and the attitude that we as individual Christians are to have as we hear the Word of God and put it into our lives. And then the attitude that of response to that in our actions of going and doing those things that God teaches us in His Word. And I would say that while none of these are simple in and of themselves, that they provide some of the most important keys of what will make the church strong here and in any other place, if we pay careful attention to these three principles, God will bless the effort that we make, and the result will be that we can expect to see growth in the church. And not only they were strengthened, but they increased in number daily, as the Scripture said there. And what a wonderful thing to see the church growing, and the church strong in spirit, and growing in numbers as well. Well, these are keys that will help to bring those things about in any congregation, I believe, when we consider them. And so we're going to begin this morning by pointing out the importance of the foundation of authority, and the authority of Jesus Christ, and the authority of His Word, the authority of the Word of God, that we must base all of our teaching and knowledge and understanding and work upon that authority of Jesus Christ. And certainly the word authority is a key word, because it means the right to command obedience, or the right to speak, the right to act. And sometimes the word ekousia that is used in the New Testament, and the word dunamis, which means power, go hand in hand. That the authority of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, those terms are used almost interchangeably in the writings of the inspired writings of God in the New Testament. And so it begins and ends with Jesus Christ and with His authority and the respect that we have for Him as our Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord, and He has the right to speak to us, and we are to have an attitude always of hearing the word of Christ and recognizing that it is His word that we are to respect because of His authority as the Son of God. And He said in Matthew 28, when He was preparing to ascend back into heaven following His resurrection, in what we commonly refer as the Great Commission, that all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And He spoke to the apostles and sent them out in that commission with His authority. And in doing so, He conferred His delegating of authority upon them as His spokesmen and as His representatives, or we might say His ambassadors, that they became in a position of authority as Jesus was leaving and going to the Father, that He was going to confer that authority of heaven to the apostles in their teachings. And they were given the coming of the promise of the Holy Spirit to guide and inspire them in that. But Jesus Christ was given all authority. And His authority comes from God the Father, because He was given all preeminence. He is the one, as Bill read this morning, that He came down and humbled Himself and gave up His position of glory with the Father, even to the death upon the cross. And therefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth. Speaking of, once again, the authority that has been given to Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the Lord of heaven and earth, as the head of the body of Christ. Whenever the apostles were preaching, then they always went back to that they were speaking in the name of Christ. And that is where their authority was derived. And they call attention, such as Peter did in Acts chapter 3. He said, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." So hearing the word of Christ and recognizing Him, that He is the prophet like unto Moses, the Messiah that God was sending, we are to respect His authority and understand that He has delegated that authority now to the hands of the apostles. And in the Great Commission, when He said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations," and on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles and they began to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 were baptized, and it goes on to state in Acts 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers. So several times in the New Testament it speaks about that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. We find in the book of Jude an interesting statement where he says, Jude, the 17th verse, he said, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, some years had gone by at this time when Jude is writing, but he calls them back and he says, "But remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he recognizes that they, in their writings and their teachings, had the authority of Jesus Christ with them. And when we are reading the inspired letters of the apostles, we still are reading the Word of Christ, the Word of God. It is carries the same authority that the spoken words of Jesus would carry. Now, we recognize that the authority of Jesus Christ is the will of God, that we are to be obedient to the will of God in all that we do, and Christ has revealed that through His inspired Word and the Word of the Apostles, but it ultimately goes back to the authority and the will of God the Father who is in heaven. And Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And he goes on to say that many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and done many works?" But he said unto them, "I will say to them, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And that word carries with it the idea of no authority or no law, anomia, and it would carry the idea that of a person who is disrespecting or disregarding the words of Jesus Christ and His authority, and thereby the authority of God. So we find that in our world today, it has become very popular and very chic to sort of pass off any respect to the Word of God. That well, God's not concerned about those things. That all God is concerned about is that we love the Lord and that we have this belief in Jesus Christ. But he makes it very clear here that we cannot just give lip service to Jesus Christ and then turn around and do the very thing that he tells us the opposite to what he has instructed us in his word. That we will have to answer to God for that. We will stand before God and we will give an account if we have disregarded the words of God and the words of the authority of the will of the Father that has been revealed through Jesus and the apostles that is now contained in the New Testament. We understand that the Old Testament is the inspired Word of God, but in the prophecies that were given, such as in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses 31 through 34, where Jeremiah said, "Behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers. And this is the covenant," he said, "that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of the greatest, and I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more." Well, that new covenant is quoted twice in the book of Hebrews. So we know that we are living under that new covenant with Jesus Christ. But the point that I am making is that in our effort for the church to grow, that we want to see the growth of the church and the church to be strong as it was in those statements that are made in the book of Acts, Paul going back and strengthening the churches, that we must have the respect for the Word of Christ and the Word of God, and that we study carefully from His Word. And we don't just open the Bible and say, "Well, I see it says that, but this is what we want to do." That's disrespecting the Word of Christ. That's disrespecting the authority of Jesus Christ. To look at it and give lip service to it and then just shut the book and say, "Well, we're going to go ahead and do what we want to do." We disrespect God and we disrespect Christ when we do not give careful heed to His authority that is found in His Word. And there are principles of understanding and coming to the correct understanding that, that we need to look for commands, and we need to look for the example of the apostles, the apostolic examples. And sometimes there are inferences that are made in the text that we can draw solid conclusions from that. And many today scoff at that, and they say, well, we don't need to follow those principles. But I would suggest to you that the growth of the church, the strength of the church, is going to continue to always be found that we build upon the foundation of the authority of God's Word. The second thing that we want to emphasize is the attitude that we must have, just as we would say authority, 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 we would also say attitude, attitude, attitude. That making the church strong, it comes down to the attitude that we have as believers in Christ and as followers of Jesus Christ. And again, some say, and there are many like this out in the religious world today, that make statements to the effect, they say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter for us to be concerned about specific requirements. All that really matters is our attitude to God. And so, in saying that, oftentimes the attitude to God is glossed over to be, well, we love Christ, we love His Word, we love Him in our hearts. But then, when it comes down to doing what He says, there's an attitude of nonchalance about, we're not into that. We're not concerned about looking to find out what Christ actually tells us in His Word. The attitude that we need to have for Jesus Christ needs to be an attitude of humble submission to God. We need to be humbly submitting to the will of God that has been revealed to us. And in James chapter 4 is one of the clearest statements about that, where James tells us in James chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, he says, "But He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." That attitude then of being submission to God. Respecting God's authority, respecting His Word, and saying, "Lord, You speak and we listen and we obey Your Word." That is how we will see the church be strong in any place. And it needs to be an attitude of loving obedience to Christ. Loving obedience to Christ, which Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said that if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And again, there are those in the religious world today saying, well, you people are all hung up about commandments. You know, we need to get past that. We not need to be all this legalistic concern about keeping the commandments. Well, they are the commandments of Christ, is the point that we need to not lose sight of. These are the commands of Jesus Christ. These are not the commandments of men. That would be different. If these are man-made rituals or man-made rules, man-made regulations, yes, I am the first in agreement. We need to not get hung up on those man-made commandments and rules and regulations. But we're talking about the authority of Jesus Christ, the commandments of Jesus Christ. These are His commandments. And Jesus said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, John said, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are are not burdensome. So there should be among us as fellow Christians a attitude of, we love the Lord, we love His Word, we gladly are obedient to what Jesus Christ commands of us because He is the Savior, the Son of God. He has all authority. And when He speaks, we listen and we obey. There needs to be the attitude of respect or reverence to the Word of God. Reverence for God, certainly reverence for Christ, respect for His will. Now, when we come together and we worship God, as Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, John 4, verse 24, He said, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. God has a... He deserves for us to be reverent to Him and His will when we come to worship Him. And in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, the Hebrew writer speaking about how the blood of Jesus Christ speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. He said, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And I would simply ask the question, are we respecting God? Are we respecting, reverencing God when we ignore His Word? When we as a people choose to follow our own wishes, as many would suggest today, that we are free, we are at liberty, we have the choice of how we should offer worship to God. Everything we do, we need to have this attitude of respect, reverence for God, and go to His Word and let Him speak to us and have confidence in that He will bless the growth of His church when there are people who respect His will and make it supreme. And the third principle that I want to call attention to is then action. That there is the authority, there is the attitude, but then there must follow from that the action of an obedient mind and a willing heart that would be not just an assent of belief of what Christ says, but a willingness to do what He says. To go into action. And without question, without excuse, here is what Christ says, here's what we will do. That is the proper attitude, and that is the proper response to God's inspired Word and Jesus Christ. We're told that in Hebrew, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is hearing the Word of God and believing and acting upon that. That is what it means to walk by faith. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, there was this occasion when Jesus was surrounded with the disciples and they were listening to Him, and his mother, Mary, and his brethren were standing outside, and they asked to see Him, to speak with Him, and someone there in the audience was making the statement that it's Luke 11 and verse 28. Someone was, very enthusiastic about this comment, but he said, saw that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you," referring to his mother Mary. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Well, of course, there are those that would suggest that we need to fall down on the ground and worship Mary. And yet Jesus, without any disrespect to his mother, intended, is simply pointing out that more blessed, what we need to have are those kind of people who hear the word of God and do it and keep that word of God. So that is the proper response to the word of God. And there's an attitude of obedience that James talks about in James chapter 1, where we are not hearers only, but doers of the word. He said, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And I think probably to sum this up, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus puts it in a way that is hard to make it any clearer when he states there in Luke 6 and verse 46. He says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That going back to the statement read earlier in Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who calls upon me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus asked the question here, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? So, for us, the application, I think, is clear that if we truly are the Lord's church, then we will do what Christ says above and foremost in everything, and without excuse, without quibble. What Jesus says is what we will do, what we intend to do. And in order to keep the church strong, we must embrace these principles. And it's all too sad that today there are Christians who have grown tired of, and preachers who minimize the importance of emphasizing authority and submission of authority and attitude to the authority of Christ. And obviously these things all work together as far as being obedient, faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, there are all too many churches today that do not resemble Christ. They resemble their human designers and their innovative ideas and their growth concepts and all of the catchy phrases and so forth that are being used and thrown around out in the religious world. Christ's people who truly follow Him, should it not reflect His design and give Him the glory that we are followers of Jesus Christ and we respect His word and we consider His word to be authoritative among ourselves. And so we base our actions around those principles that we find revealed in the Word of God. We're going to stand this morning and sing the invitation that has been chosen and selected, and the singing has been beautiful today, and we appreciate Ted leading for us, and the words of Bill at the Lord's Supper. Appreciate those thoughts that have been shared. So let's stand together and sing the invitation song, and we invite you to come to Jesus Christ if you are subject in any way.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for